Marty Lurie here at KNBR 680 Giants Baseball coming up with Chase Darno of the, did I say it correctly?
Yes, Chase Darno. The emphasis on the last syllable, but you know, Darno is the right ending. Yeah, yeah, no, that's perfect. That was good.
Yeah, very good. All right, because I'm a Lurie, so a Darno, okay. Kind of similar.
What is that? Of what origin is Lurie?
Well, it's they originally came from Russia, but through South Africa, and there is probably some French in there somewhere, or Italian.
Yeah, yeah. I asked Sear, Tyler Sear, today where his last name hailed from. Hey, C-Y-R, it's really uncommon. In fact, the first time I saw it, I kept calling him Sir. But Sear, he said that is of French origin as well, which surprised me. I wasn't expecting that.
No, I would think Eastern Europe. Yeah, I would think that. All right, Chase Darno is with us today.
Darno is with us today.
All right, love it. Hey, you've made quite a name for yourself in the camp here. And let's start a little bit with the musical career and some of the YouTube videos. And then we'll get to a little bit of baseball.
Yeah, sure. But just to make it clear, the baseball stuff is more important than the music stuff.
In spring.
Yeah. Well, what would you like to know?
Yeah, tell us about it, how you created it, and it's been good for the clubhouse. People have enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, here comes Miguel Gomez singing right now with his headphones in. Yeah, music's been an important part of my life since growing up. I mean, I started getting involved in music about the same time I picked up a bat when I was about 5 years old. My uncle played the violin growing up, and he had me playing it from the third grade all the way through the eighth grade. My mom was singing opera for as long as I can remember. She'd hold recitals in front of the family. She's been in various choirs. She still sings, but yeah, I have memories of me and my brother singing Phantom of the Opera in the car growing up, believe it or not. It's like I would sing the guy part of Phantom of the Opera. Travis would sing the girl part because he was able to hit this obscene note at the climax of the song that my mom wasn't even able to hit. And so yeah, Travis is a starting catcher of the Mets. Before his voice dropped along with other parts of him, he was singing very high notes that other opera singers weren't able to hit. But I guess more recently, the Chase Darno Band is probably what you're most interested in. It's something that started in the off season, going into the 2016 season with the Braves. I met a producer that off season. He and I became buddies. And to make a long story short, I jammed with him once in the off season, and then he was able to hear something. He could tell that I really liked music. I was passionate about it, and he thought that it'd be a lot of fun to go ahead and make a song together. So we made a song called Follow Me Home just for fun, and it turned out great. So then the both of us thought, man, let's keep this thing going and make a whole album this year. There's nothing keeping him in Marina Del Rey, so the two of us together created this album in Florida during spring training and continued recording in Atlanta while we lived together there too. And we were able to finish 10 songs. We performed at Bonnaroo in 2016. We opened up for Lady Antebellum after the season. We played after a game at Turner Stadium. It was a really magical year where a lot of things were aligned, and it kind of has to be that way because there are a lot of talented musicians and bands out there that don't get that kind of recognition, but a lot of things just kind of went our way.
My beautiful Chase Darno is with us here. Did I say it correctly, I hope?
Yep. That's it.
All right, I'm trying to do it correctly here. Yeah. But how does one access some of the music? Because I'm sure, you know, we have so many listeners. I'm sure they'd like to hear it after hearing you.
Yeah, well, it's all on iTunes. iTunes and Spotify. Just look up the Chase Darno Band. Our album was called Seven Ghosts. Whenever I listen to that album, it just brings back a lot of memories for me. The creation of it took a lot of time. A lot of time goes into production and the songwriting, and it reminds me of the band itself. I mean, we haven't really performed since my drummer Christian Leonard passed away in June of last year, and I haven't done any performances since. He had a glycemic issue, just didn't wake up in his sleep one day, and didn't have enough sugar in his system, and that was really sad and unfortunate, but. You know, ever since then, I've continued writing. My son was born June 26th of 2017, and he's been my main focus. Just Jagger is his name. Jagger and baseball have been my two main things right now, and it's I got another reason to play. He's altered my perspective of life. It's a beautiful thing. All my friends ask me what it's like when you're holding a kid for the first time, and I just tell them that it's beautiful and you got to go through it yourself because I think it just hits you in a way that's tough to describe.
Yeah. And it only gets better, I'll tell you that. So good for you. Now, let's talk a little ball with you. Yeah. So how did baseball get into your life? Where did you grow up, and how did baseball become part of your life?
I grew up in Long Beach, and my dad put one of those big Flintstones-shaped bats in my hand when I was about 5 years old. You know, the ones that have the wood texture, but they're made of plastic, and the barrel is about, I'd say, double or triple the size of the bats that we use right now. And I remember being in my front yard hitting a ball off the tee with that thing. My dad had a dream of coaching his two sons through Little League, and he got to do that when I was 12 and Travis was 10. We were on the same team. We played for the Padres. A year before that, I was on the Giants, coincidentally. And then my dad never played beyond Little League. So I like to think that Travis and I helped each other get better because we were hitting anything that we could in the front yard. I mean, we had these spiky balls that would fall from the tree in our front yard, and sometimes when they were green, they were more dense. That was before they'd lost their moisture. And we would toss them to each other and just whack them. And sometimes you'd hit the car in the driveway, and our mom would get a little ticked off because they'd leave dents, but we just kept on playing anyways. And then occasionally we'd hit the moving cars going by the street, and which would result in them stopping and getting in our faces a couple times, and we'd just call it an end. And then 5 minutes later, we'd drink some water and then be back out there playing. That's what my childhood was like with baseball. School would end, and Travis and I would get picked up by our mom and change immediately with the 5 minutes that we had, because that's about how far we were away from our practice, and just did that. It was just part of life.
All right, very good. Good story. How'd you get into pro ball? How draft day, what was all that like for you? How'd you get in?
Draft day. Well, I went to Pepperdine for 3 years. I was drafted after my junior year. I always thought it'd be amazing to be a pro ball player, especially to play in the big leagues. But at the same time, I tried to be as realistic with myself as I could be. Once I signed, I would always tell my buddies, like, oh, you know, I'll be done playing in a couple of years, because the odds are against me. You have less than a 5% chance of even getting a lick of big league time. So I'd always tell them, hey, I'll be there to join you guys in the business venture. Here we are, and here I am over 10 years later playing with bonus time. That's how I like to look at it. And that perspective right there is what helps me play with as much fun as I do. I have a lot of fun on the field. I like to have moments of self-actualization on the bench, which is self-actualization to me is when you realize that you are right where you're meant to be. And when I'm sitting, or if I'm at third base, shortstop, center field, I'm looking around me and I'm at a baseball field, and it's my job to be here, it's a great moment, and I just take it in, and it just fills my heart with gratitude, and I'm just ready to it's fulfilling.
Yeah, it's fun watching you play. Chase d'Arnaud with us. You're an aggressive player on the field. You run aggressively and play a lot of different positions. You described it well. Where do you prefer to play? Of course, you like playing in the big leagues. That's number one. But if you had to pick out a position, what's your best?
I have my most experience at shortstop and third base. I've played an adequate amount of time at second base as well. I'm comfortable at the three of those positions. In 2014, I played an entire year in the outfield, mostly center field. The Pirates thought that my speed would play well out there, and it did. I had a lot of fun. I get a rush out of catching a fly ball. But this spring training, I've played most games at third base, some at shortstop, none at second base yet, but... Yeah, this is still spring training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Oh, I see you playing, as I say, aggressive on the base paths as well. It's nice to see that.
Oh, running is my... Yeah. Running the bases is one of my best assets. I love stealing bases. I've studied that a lot. I had a great coach with the Pirates, Kamara Barti, call him KB, and he just helped me dissect pitchers. And a lot of the times when the game starts, I'm going to be on that end of the dugout so I can get a good look at the pitcher and see what his move is, because I guess I've just said too much. I don't want to give it away. I don't want other teams to be too worried about me when I'm over there. I'd rather surprise them. But you know, I like base running.
Oh, very good. Chase, you spent some time in El Paso in the PCL, and that is a spot, boy, they go back many, many, many years. The Sun Kings down there, and the Giants had a team down there in the 60s. What was it like being in El Paso?
El Paso, I had a great time because the stadium is beautiful. We drew really well. The fans are really passionate. I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. It's, whenever I thought about El Paso, it was more of just a town that I would drive through on my way of going to spring training in Florida, because that's where I've been the last 10 years. This is my first Arizona League spring training. Marty, this is awesome. I love it so much. But surprisingly, it was fairly musical. It's a small town feel. It seemed like everybody knew each other, the more locals that I met. A lot of people tend to stick around. But I had a good experience there the month and a half I was there.
Yeah, I've always thought on Highway 10, it is that spot as you come from Arizona into Texas. There it is.
Similar feel to this. Yeah.
Very much. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let's talk about hitting. We've covered just about every aspect of your life and fielding and your attitude in baseball. How about with the bat?
Oh, let's see. I'm coming to this season having revamped my swing quite a bit. I worked with a few guys back home. Just, I'd never been much of a power guy. Throughout my career, but yeah, I'm 6'2", 200 pounds. I've got a lot of quick twitch muscles in me, and I just feel like that's something I should have. And so I started consulting different people, and Chris Taylor is a guy that had a lot of success last year, obviously with the Dodgers, and he worked with a man named Craig Wallenbrock, who he's the same person that helped work with J.D. Martinez, along with Robert Visconiak, who's employed by the Diamondbacks now. But I looked them up, and they happen to live 45 minutes away from me. And shame on me for not researching this stuff up earlier, having knowledge that close to me. In October of this past offseason, I started seeing them weekly because when you're going to make changes to a swing, especially drastic ones, I feel like you have to get in there early because you want it to be ingrained so you hit the ground running in spring training rather than trying to figure it out. Because there are a lot of different pieces to a swing if you really want to maximize your potential. So I've entered this year with a new swing that's more efficient, a new path. I feel like I'm taking advantage of my athleticism now, and it's nice to see the ball coming off the bat a lot harder with more consistency. It's a good feeling, and shame on me for not researching this stuff up earlier. I wish I had, but a lot of people have had great years later in life, like Jose Bautista was 31 when he had his breakout year with the Blue Jays. Justin Turner is another guy who bloomed later in his career, and I plan on doing the same thing and coming and having a career year this year, regardless of where I am.
Wow, what a great story. A pleasure meeting you, Chase Darno. Very nice. And speed doesn't go on vacation. I like players who can get dirty. That's what I like. You get dirty. You can do that on the field. And I think for this organization, it's terrific to have you here. And I'm glad that we took the time to do it. It's very good.
Yeah. Thanks, Marty. My trainers and the clubbies especially, always know what my jersey looks like after a game. Yeah. I feel bad for them sometimes. Because there's holes in it. They have to patch all the time. It's a good thing. Yeah. It's fun.
Oh, come on. That's a baseball player. I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This has been good.
Yeah, very good. That's Chase Darno right here at KNBR 680. More coming up.